Welcome to my show. This is Dr. Kent. This is my second show. I was on last week, and if you tuned in, I appreciate that. And if you're tuning in again, I definitely appreciate that. I'm going to be airing my show every Sunday from 9 till 10 in the morning on KIDO, as well as on FM 107.5. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a psychiatrist here in Boise for the past 27 years. Been practicing psychiatry altogether for 30-plus years, so that does age me a little bit. I've been talking a lot about mental illness in my show, as you might expect. I talk about depression and also the human experience, especially as I've observed it over the past many years in my practice. I'll also be sharing with you insights and stories, bringing on real-life patients, which I'm going to do today in my third segment. I'm also going to try to bring in some other experts and people from the community, as well as some national experts, to come on my show. I really want this show to be about real life and be relatable to everyone. I don't want it to be too technical or too many medical terms. I want to try to make it so people can understand what I'm saying. As I've been saying on my show, I think everyone's affected in some way by mental illness. The more that we understand about mental illness, I think the better we can live our lives. And we also can help those who are in need. We probably all know somebody in our life that has a mental illness. We may have one ourselves. We have maybe a family member or a friend of a friend. So it's something that's extremely common, and I don't think that any of us are exempt from this illness. And myself, I'm not immune to this either. Mental illness is close to me in my own home. I have relatives that are very close to me that struggle with the challenges associated with mental illness. But thankfully, I'm armed with knowledge and experience that helps me cope with the feelings that you might get normally under difficult circumstances. And I don't really fear those who struggle. I try to provide support and love and encouragement. And that's what I'm hoping to share on this show. But I don't think we need to fear those who struggle with mental illness. I think they get a bad rap on the media at times. I do think that knowledge is power, but we do tend to fear things that we don't understand. So I want you to stay tuned and engage with me. And visit my website if you can. It's at treasurevalleytms.com. You can go on that site and you can ask me questions. There's a section in there where it's Ask Dr. Kent. And I'll try to bring those questions on my show and try to answer your questions for you. Since this isn't a live show, I can't really do a call-in, which is unfortunate, but I can answer your questions and I can engage you through my website. Also on my website, there's a section in there where you can share your own experiences. And if those experiences are something I think are unique or interesting enough, I'll probably ask you if I can share those experiences on my show or possibly even bring you on my show. So don't be afraid to share those things with me. They will be anonymous. You won't have your name divulged. All this is anonymous. My website is HIPAA compliant, so you don't have to worry about any information leaking out to somebody. I'm in a very secure field when it comes to privacy. Probably the most private type of conversation you can have is with a psychiatrist. I've always felt really fortunate to be in the field of medicine, and I feel lucky I ran into the right people when I was doing my training, and I really wasn't looking into psychiatry as an option, but along the way, I turned my head, and I'm really glad that I did. It's been one of the most fortunate decisions I've ever made. I really like learning about the brain and how the brain affects us. It is an organ, but it's probably the most vital organ that we have, in my opinion. Well, last week I talked about a treatment for depression called Deep TMS. And for those of you listened in, I'm going to cover that again today, but I'm going to add some new things today and some new twists. It's really an important treatment. It's something that I'm really excited about, something that's a new treatment for depression. Although it's been around for a while, it's really new to the Treasure Valley. So I want to talk just briefly about TMS and what it is. So those of you who are tuning in for the first time can get a sense about it. TMS stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. It was discovered in 1985 by a British researcher named Tony Barker. He discovered it in his lab. He used an electromagnetic coil to stimulate the brain. and stimulated the motor cortex of the brain on the left side and got the right hand to move. And that was a huge discovery. Because we found a device that could actually stimulate brain tissue, there was a lot of excitement around the world to figure out what this meant. So it got studied extensively and has been studied extensively ever since. The amount of research that's going on in this field is enormous. There's a journal called the Brain Stimulation Journal. It's an extensive journal that covers the topics related to brain stimulation. I went to their annual conference in Barcelona in March, and they said that they have something like 12,000 papers submitted every year on TMS, and they can only accept so many every month, but it's a very extensively researched topic. Well, transcranial magnetic stimulation has been found to be helpful for depression, and they treat an area of the brain on the surface of the brain. It's called the cortex, and it's kind of over the left eyebrow, and that area of the brain is associated with depression. So they use transcranial magnetic stimulation to stimulate that part of the brain to try to activate it. And they found, through lots of research and lots of data, that this actually works, and it's more so than a placebo. In fact, they've proven it so many times over that the FDA has approved this treatment for depression, and Medicare now pays for it, and pretty much all insurance payers will pay for transcranial magnetic stimulation. So that's exciting. Now, it's only been in the Treasure Valley for the past year and a half or so, and I've been using a new device called BrainsWay Deep TMS. It's a second-generation coil or electromagnet, and I've been using it for about 4 months now with remarkable results and been very pleased with it. But TMS doesn't treat just depression. It's also being studied extensively for the treatment of migraine headaches, Parkinson's disease, post-stroke victims, attention deficit disorder, even autism it's being studied for, and bipolar depression, the negative symptoms of schizophrenia, which include a lack of motivation, lack of interest, post-traumatic stress disorder, addictions such as cocaine and gambling. And I was talking to a psychiatrist in Southern California at a meeting I was at a couple of weeks ago in San Diego, and he's been using it with pretty good success with early dementia. I don't know the data on that one very well, so I don't want to expound on it without more data, but it sounds promising. It's also being studied for obsessive-compulsive disorder, and there's some landmark studies that are just about to be released, so I'm really anxious to hear what those are. And the BrainsWay makes individual coils to treat different conditions. They're the only company in the world that does that, and they have a coil just for OCD, so I'm excited to see what happens with that. And they're also going to start getting approvals, I hope, in the future for adolescent depression. Right now, it's only approved in adults from age 18 and above. So as TMS is used more and more and being researched worldwide, I think they're going to find many other ways that it's going to be useful. So for me, that's very exciting. It's a new way to treat depression and other psychiatric conditions. For years, we've been confined to really medications, psychotherapy, which is great. All of those things are helpful and work. But sometimes they don't work, and so it's nice to have some new options. Transcranial magnetic stimulation is low on side effects, very little side effects, actually. It can cause some headaches sometimes initially with treatment, but it doesn't cause any memory problems that you would associate with ECT and other treatments, and it's considered extremely safe. Now, the treatment, TMS, is no longer considered experimental. Some people will say that. I've even heard someone, some of our local insurance companies say, well, that's just experimental. That's not really the case. It's been established. The FDA has approved it. Medicare pays for it. They wouldn't pay for an experimental treatment if it wasn't valid. So it's no longer considered experimental. In the next segment, I'm going to explore some of the mechanisms of action of TMS and how it positively affects the brain. I'm going to talk about neuroplasticity and how the brain actually changes, and how we can put people in long-term remission of their depression. I'm going to talk about the reliability of the treatment. I'm also going to talk about how patients receive treatment and how they can take a self-test in 1 to 2 minutes and see if they're a candidate for TMS. I really want to focus on this show about people's successes and how people can actually overcome great obstacles to realize a better life. a lot of times we think about psychiatry as doom and gloom and negative and dark and bad things about it. But in actuality, it's one of the most successful fields in all of medicine, and especially with the exciting developments of deep TMS. So I want you to stay tuned for my next segment while I go into more detail.
I'm Dr. David Kent.
I'm a local psychiatrist. This is my second segment of today's show. This is my second radio show I've done. I've done one last week, and this is my second one, so bear with me. Still got a little bit of nerves at times, but that's probably normal, I hear. I'm excited to be hosting this show. I'm going to try to spotlight the successes and discoveries and sometimes the failures in the mental health field. I'll be sharing more of the positive side and what there is to be excited about. I feel very fortunate to be doing this, and I feel like I've helped countless people pull out of very difficult situations and sometimes overcome extreme hopelessness. I do believe that treatment works and that things are getting better all the time in my field. Well, on this segment, I want to continue to share how deep TMS works and how it is used to help many people struggling with severe depression find their way again. On the next segment, I'll have a real-life patient come on and share his experience. So I want to get back to deep TMS for now and kind of give you some details. And if you're tuning in for the first time, deep TMS stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's a newer form of treatment for depression, which is very effective. For those of you who've already heard some of this information, I'm sorry if I repeat myself at times, but I know that new listeners are coming on all the time. But also I'm going to give some new information on this segment. Let me start by talking about a concept called neuroplasticity. Well, what is that? Well, let me give you the definition, then I'll talk to you a little bit in plain terms if I can. But the definition of neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to form and reorganize synaptic connections, especially in response to learning or experience or following injury. In other words, the brain can somewhat regenerate and form new connections. And that's exciting. That's something that we didn't really understand in the past, but research now clearly confirms that neuroplasticity actually happens, and it can happen for a variety of reasons. In the past, I had read about and heard in various talks that certain medications that we use in psychiatry actually create neuroplasticity, especially in the treatment of bipolar disorder. That means that the brain actually gets new connections, may even grow in certain areas and grow those new connections and actually get a little bit bigger in size. And that's pretty exciting. Now, I went to a meeting in San Diego a few weeks ago and heard from a researcher from Toronto, Canada. He gave a very elegant description of neuroplasticity and how transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, actually was demonstrated to cause neuroplasticity. So that was very exciting to hear. So let me give you a little detail on that. What I've talked about already with transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, is that it stimulates the brain tissue. And we found that it's very positive when it does that. Now, there's various circuits in the brain, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's at least 17 different circuits in the brain that connect the cortex of the brain, which is the outer surface of the brain, the outer part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that we use our thinking in, we initiate action. A lot of thought goes in our brain, a lot of creativity. It's one of the executive functions of the brain, so to speak. Well, those parts of the brain are also connected to lower parts of the brain, or what they call older parts of the brain in terms of evolution. Those are parts of the brain that are connected with emotion and are not really conscious parts of our brain, but they execute what our upper part of the brain wants to see happen. So with depression, there's a circuit in the brain that starts in the cortex of the brain on the left side, also on the right side as well, but it's called the left dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. That's a mouthful. I have a hard time saying it myself. When we treat patients with depression with deep TMS, we actually stimulate that part of the brain, which is up in the cortex, the very surface of the brain. When we treat that surface part of the brain, it also affects lower parts of the brain in what they call the limbic system, or the cortical limbic system is kind of that circuit. So studies have shown that when we do that, patients who have depression have parts of that circuit that get larger. They've actually demonstrated that using a functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, you're familiar with MRIs. People have had those. Those have been around a long time. fMRI is actually a functional MRI. It shows the metabolic activity as well as the structure of the brain at any given time. What they've done is they've studied patients with depression, and they've studied them with fMRI before they got any treatment, then afterwards. Then they compared them to normal controls, people who don't have depression. And what they found was that those lower parts of the brain got bigger. So it showed neuroplasticity. For me, that's very exciting. That means we're making actual physical changes in the brain with treatment. And so we are seeing it translate into a clinical effect. In other words, patients will get clinically better if that those parts of the brain actually enlarge. And that's what they've showed in the research, is that there's a direct correlation between this neuroplasticity and positive response to treatment. And so for me, that's confirmatory that this is a relevant treatment and why it's important. So why do we treat depression aggressively? Why is that so important? Well, let me give you some stats on depression just so you can get an idea of its enormity and how common it is. Let me just start with mental illness in general. 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. experience some sort of mental illness in a given year. So that's 20% of adults experience some kind of mental illness in a given year. 45% of those go untreated. There is an estimated $193 billion lost every year because of lost earnings related to this, which includes patients with mood disorders such as major depression and other mood disorders. So certain factors may increase your risk of developing a mental health problem. One is having a biological relative with a mental health problem, such as a parent or sibling with a mental illness, or certain experiences in the womb may put people at higher risk, such as exposure to viruses, toxins, drugs, or alcohol during pregnancy. So the National Institute of Mental Health estimates that in the United States, approximately 16 million adults have at least one major depressive episode in 2012. That's approximately 7% of the population. That's a lot of people. And that's about 15 million Americans every year are affected by depression. I'm not going to go into all of these, but there are many classified forms of mental illness. In fact, there's 200 classified forms of mental illness. On this show, I'll be talking about some of those forms, including bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, some about dementia and personality disorders. All of those I'll be talking about in the future shows. Depression is the most common mental disorder. That's why I talk about it so much on this show, and I think it's the one that most people can relate to. And everybody can get depressed at some point in time. Some people get depressed just very briefly over a situation, and it doesn't persist. The type of depression that I talk about on this show is a persistent depression that lasts for weeks or months or even years, and it's considered to be more biological. And another statistic is that 4 out of 10 of the leading causes of disability in the U.S. are from mental disorders such as major depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and obsessive-compulsive disorder. So it's a very disabling to have a mental illness for sure. So depression is the most common mental illness, and there's various estimates on how common it is. I've heard ranges between 16 and 26% of the U.S. adult population are affected. It's estimated by the year 2020, depression will be the second leading cause of disability throughout the world, trailing only heart disease. So it's a very significant issue. Let me talk briefly about suicide and the statistics related to suicide, and I have many other statistics related to depression, but I think that gives you an idea of how common it is, how serious it is. There's certainly many different types of depression, which I'll talk about in future shows. Let me talk a little bit about suicide and kind of the rate of suicide and why that's such a problem. Well, in the U.S. Alone, each year it's estimated that around 35,000 people die of suicide a year. That's one suicide every 12 minutes. That's pretty amazing. Let me give you some more statistics related to suicide. Let me bring it closer to home. In Idaho, suicide is the second leading cause of death between the ages of 15 and 34 and for males between the ages of 10 to 14. The leading cause is accidents, so it's only secondary to accidents. And Idaho is consistently among the states with the highest suicide rates. In 2015, Idaho had the fifth highest suicide rate. It was 50% higher than the national average. In 2015, 362 people completed suicide in Idaho. That represents one suicide death every day in Idaho. So I think that depression is a pretty serious thing. One suicide a day is what you can expect. Between 2011 and 2015, 78% of the suicides were by men. 60% of these involved a firearm. Also, about 20% of the Idaho youth attending public school and charter schools reported in a given year having considered serious suicide thoughts. So that kind of brings it a little bit closer to home. On this next segment, I'm going to be bringing on a real-life patient, someone who has a story to tell and something I think would be interesting to you. So stay tuned in.
Welcome back to my show. I'm Dr. Kent.
I'm a Boise area psychiatrist. This is my second show, as I've mentioned in my other segments. I'm trying to get over the nervousness myself, but I'm trying to get there. I appreciate the opportunity to provide this show and some information to the community. I have a guest on today. His name is Shane. He's going to share some of his experiences with his significant depression and severe depression that he's had over the years. As I've talked about in the previous segment, depression is very serious, and the consequences of depression are extremely serious. I want to thank Shane for coming on my show today. It's something he's not used to doing. He's out of his box, but I think that makes it more real for us. We can talk, really just have a conversation about it. I think it'll shed some light on how difficult this condition can be. So first of all, Shane, I want to ask you a few questions and just feel free to take your time. A little background about yourself. How long have you been living in Boise?
Well, I grew up here, lived here since 1974, and my family's been in the area since the 1800s.
So you are a long-term native of this area.
Absolutely. We love it here.
Well, that's cool. I like that. I'm a transplant, but I've been here longer in Boise than any other place, so it is definitely home for me. I want you to talk right now a little bit about your depression. Mm-hmm. Like, how long have you had it? What has it been like? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, my depression goes back a long time, probably till it started around grade school. It's just been very difficult for me throughout my lifetime. It comes and goes and comes and goes. It's just been very hard to deal with. I've tried all sorts of different remedies, and nothing has really seemed to work. Different medications to, you know, different psychiatrists and counseling, and just nothing had seemed to work over these years. It's just been a struggle. So I finally found this TMS, and I'm grateful because it has helped me.
We'll get into that in a minute. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about what sort of the symptoms of depression you had? How did it affect you? What was your daily life like with depression?
Well, there's a lot of feeling tired, just no energy, didn't feel like doing anything. I was very lethargic, very sad, down, depressed, hopeless. Mostly the hopeless was very debilitating, just not feeling like I had any purpose in life anymore. It was very difficult.
So how has it affected your life in general, would you say?
Well, it's been hard. It's hard to get over it. It's basically put me into a position where I become disabled. Overall, it's just trying to cope with the sadness and the feelings of hopelessness.
Okay. Has it been hard to work at times because of this?
Yes, it has. It's basically, I never wanted to get out of bed for a couple of years straight, and yeah, it's just it's been very difficult.
Okay. I know it's hard to talk about, but I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your feelings and being real with us. I'm assuming it's negatively affected your relationships.
Yeah, it has. I'd say it's probably cost me several relationships because people don't really understand. If they haven't dealt with depression or lived it themselves, I think a lot of people, they just don't understand it. And I guess they're afraid of it, and they don't know how to react to it. So, yeah, that's been kind of hard on me as well.
So you mentioned hopelessness, and that is a key word I bring up a lot because it's the one thing I think that is really serious. It's something that people will act on in bad ways. So can you tell me a little bit about the hopelessness you felt?
Yeah, just an overwhelming sense of despair, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Just not feeling like I had a purpose or any drive left in me. Kind of felt like, you know, life wasn't even worth living anymore. I didn't have a direction, and I just couldn't feel which direction to go. I just felt lost. I guess that's the hopelessness. And
what did your future look like when you felt that way?
It looked pretty bleak to me. I mean, I didn't see a future. I was at that point, I was ready to just give up, and it scared me because I didn't know what to do, and nothing was working.
So it was safe to say that you were feeling suicidal at some point?
Yes.
Did you ever contemplate a means to a way to hurt yourself?
When I was younger, I had tried a few different things. I didn't feel like I wanted to live anymore. Just felt completely worthless, hopeless. And people had left me and that I loved, and I just felt like giving up.
Okay. Sounds like you got close to acting on those thoughts and did a little bit when you were younger. And that's a common scenario I find in my practice. Is the one thing I ask all my patients with depression is, do you feel hopeless?
Yeah.
Because once the hopelessness settles in, then the thoughts of suicide start to settle in, and that's when people can end up taking their own life, which is the thing we try to avoid. So let me ask you a little more specifically. You said you've tried things in the past. Can you kind of describe a little bit of what have you tried before, like medications and maybe how many you tried or what those were like or anything like that? Can you describe that?
Well, yeah, I've tried several medications. I've had many different doctors over the years trying to help me with my depression. And I've tried at least a half a dozen, probably more, medications. Some of them would work for a little while and then they would stop working, or some of them didn't work at all. Some of them just had side effects that were debilitating in themselves. So I just had to basically stop the medication. It wasn't helping.
So they didn't really help in your case, and sometimes they actually made things worse a little bit with the side effects. So did you ever receive counseling or psychotherapy along the way?
Yes, I've also tried some counseling in the past, and didn't find it too helpful. More recently, I have been doing some psychotherapy along with these other techniques, and that has been much more helpful.
Okay. So that brings us up to now. So how did you first learn about Deep TMS?
I think it was through my Facebook feed. I was looking through my Facebook, and I saw your TMS site there. And I was actually looking at going through ECT at the time because my depression was so severe. And it turned out that that wouldn't work out for me with the ECT. They didn't take Medicare. So I started looking at alternative means and came across your site on Facebook and then decided to do some research about it and went on the BrainsWave website and started reading up to find out what is this TMS about. And that's when I decided to give you a call.
So you kind of found me on the internet, essentially through Facebook, and
right. Done
did your own research and decided that maybe this was something that might help you.
Yes.
But when you came into that first interview, how optimistic were you that this would help you?
I was trying to stay very optimistic because just everything I've been through, I didn't want to give up.
So did you feel kind of desperate at that point when you came in?
Yeah, I'd say I was feeling a little bit desperate.
Yeah. It felt that way to me, too. Yeah. I remember that first visit and how much I wanted this to work for you.
Yeah.
I get a lot of patients into my TMS now. I'm getting a good, steady flow of patients, and all of them are kind of like you in terms of they've tried a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. They've either partially worked, but they stopped working, or they didn't work at all.
Right.
They went through years of psychotherapy in a lot of cases. And when they get to me, I feel this sort of heavy weight of responsibility to see that you get better.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I can't promise you're going to get better. I hope this works for you. And I try to kind of downplay it a little bit. But in the back of my mind, I'm hoping this needs to work for this person because he's got nothing left in the tank. So that's kind of where I'm at, too, when I'm interviewing you is like, gosh, you are a candidate. You should get this treatment. I want to treat you. I want to get you better. But I can't promise that. So what has been your response to Deep TMS? How has it worked for you?
It's been amazing. It took about 4 weeks, I'd say. I think right around 4 weeks when it felt like somebody flipped a light switch on my life. I just felt that hopelessness disappear. It has been a miracle for me. And just has changed my life. I feel like living again. Things are fun again. I can go fishing and I enjoy it. You know, I do things that I didn't used to do. I'd have to force myself to go out just to do something because I knew I couldn't just sit around. And so I would force myself to go out and do things. But now it's like I feel fun again. I feel like I can enjoy life.
You know, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Very awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, just, it's very satisfying for me. I've done this for so long. And, you know, I practice with medicines. I do the traditional things. And those are very helpful for some people. But they're not helpful for everybody. And that's where I used to get stuck, is for those who weren't getting the benefit from the medicines, I had to get more and more creative. Try this medicine or this combination or this and that because I want to help people. I want them to get better. But when this Deep TMS came along, it was, even from my perspective, just an amazing thing that I have this new option that treats people with decades worth of depression. You go back to when you were a child, you had this depression, and nothing, you know, things kind of worked a little bit here and there, but really nothing has worked for you.
Yeah.
And to have you come into my office and pretty much in a state of desperation, kind of saying, I sure hope this works. I remember that.
Yeah.
Remember you saying something like that. You remember that?
Yep.
I didn't promise you anything, but I said, I sure hope it works too.
Yeah. Well, I did all the research and I read a bunch of studies about it, just trying to get my own information just to see, you know, what is this about? And I really felt hopeful that this could change my life.
Well, it sounds like it has, and
just
from seeing you from the beginning till now when I see you in the hallway or I see you getting your treatment, I see a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Before, I saw tears in your eyes.
And I'm hearing that a lot from other people, too. They can see my affect has changed drastically.
Yeah. So it's just amazing for me. That's sort of the reward for me more than anything else is to see the response.
Yeah.
To see people with years and years of hopelessness, really no way to turn, mm-hmm. and see how this works for them. It's just amazing. So, if you had to go through this again, would you do it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have any problems with the Deep TMS?
No, it's a little different. It's a strange feeling, but no problems, no side effects.
Wasn't painful for you to go through it?
No, not painful. Just a little different.
Slightly annoying.
Yeah.
But not painful.
No.
Okay. Would you recommend it to a friend or family member?
I already have. Several people, yes.
You've been a bit of an advocate for it.
Definitely. I mean, when we go through so many different things that don't work and you run out of options, then, you know, this is definitely an option that seems to help. So it definitely has helped me.
So what does your future look like now?
It's looking much better. At least I have hope again.
Yeah,
I'm
hope
enjoying
again.
Enjoying life again. So Yeah.
Sounds like you're getting out more, you're doing more things. You're trying to find pleasure in life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of one of the reasons where we exist, is to have pleasure and enjoy life.
Yeah.
It's not all about doom and gloom, right?
Exactly.
It has been for you, but you know, I'm just so excited that you responded to the Deep TMS. You know, I always cross my fingers because I certainly can't promise it, but I've had so many cases like you recently that it almost feels like it's the rule rather than the exception. And it's, I think it is. So I think the patients I'm having come through are just really amazed. And in your case, it took about 4 weeks, and that's 5 days a week. So about the 20th treatment or so, the light went on.
That's right.
The light switch turned. I had a patient in last week that the first treatment she felt almost the light switch change. So it really varies a lot on how quickly people respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, just be patient. With Deep TMS, the more the better.
Yeah.
Research even indicates that the longer you go with TMS, the results get better and better and better. So it seems to be doing something really positive in the brain.
Yeah, I would vouch for that.
And we hope relatively permanent or semi-permanent. I can't promise that either, but hopefully you'll go into a long-term remission.
I'm hoping.
But the good news is that the research seems to indicate that anybody who responds to TMS will respond every time.
Yeah.
And that's unlike medication. Some medicines will work for a while, stop working, or they won't work the second or third time around.
Yeah.
But TMS hasn't been shown to be that way. So that's exciting. And that also gives you hope that even if you do so some relapse in the future, that we can do this again.
Yeah.
And I'll be here for you to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hopefully we won't get there.
No, hopefully we won't. But if we do, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Don't need to worry about it. Do you have anything else you want to say about Deep TMS that I haven't talked about or asked you about? Anything else that comes to mind or anything you want to say to the people out there that might be in the same situation that you're in?
Yeah, just don't give up hope ever. Never give up. This has changed my life, and I'm sure it can change thousands of other people's lives as well. Even when I felt hopeless, I was just clinging for something to help me. This has helped me, without a doubt. And I'm so grateful.
That's awesome, Shane. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you've spoken from your heart and you've shared experience. Really, I brought you on here so that you can find somebody like yourself sitting out there going through the exact same thing you went through, or a very similar thing that you went through, and get help. I mean, just get help. You don't have to sit home and feel this way.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
So that's the take-home message here for people out there. And you found me through my Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Treasure Valley TMS on Facebook. So got quite a few followers now on that, and I post 5 days a week. So there's always something being posted. I got a lot of nice pictures on my posts, so they always look nice, and I always have some kind of message and link. The other cool thing is that I have a self-assessment on my website. I don't know if you took that or not.
I did, yes.
You took the self-assessment. Mm-hmm. So that self-assessment will screen people for TMS and tell if you have a candidate or not. And that's nice to know. And it only takes about 1 to 2 minutes to take that self-test. It's really pretty easy. It also kind of looks at your insurance and things like that as well. But even if you don't have insurance, we can certainly talk about ways to make it happen for you. Also, of course, treasurevalleytms.com. That's my main website. That's where everything kind of goes. I've got a ton of information on there about TMS, about depression. I write articles. I have 9 articles on there now about different subjects related to mental illness. So get on there. Check it out for yourself. Go to Ask Dr. Kent and ask questions of me, and I'll try to bring those questions onto my show. Share your own experiences by visiting my website and posting your experiences, and I'll try to share those as well. So I've got another little segment coming up to wrap it up.
I'll
be back in just a second. Kent.
Thanks.
I'm a practicing psychiatrist in Boise. Been here for a long time. This is my second show. If you're tuning in for the first time, I'm talking a lot about mental illness and depression, talking about revolutionary new treatments, things like that. So on my previous segment, I had Shane on, who talked extensively about his experience with depression, his response to Deep TMS, and how he's doing now. So I really appreciate Shane coming on my show. It was a little nerve-wracking for him. He's never done this before. It's out of his box, but I thought he did an awesome job. So it's really nice to have a real experience on my show. It's not all about stats and statistics, but it's also about bringing real people on here. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to bring people on my show. I will bring experts on and other people who are experts in their field. I want to continue to plug my website, treasurevalleytms.com. That's where I have a lot of information. I write a lot of articles. I have videos on there. I have links to other mental health authoritative sites. Talk about lots of things. I have a blog on there. I have a place for you to ask me questions and post your own experiences, which will remain anonymous. But I might bring them on my show, so please feel free to get on there and post questions. My Facebook page is very active, and that's how Shane found me in the first place, was through Facebook. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm going to talk in the future about the history of TMS, which I've already done somewhat already. I'm going to talk about TMS versus ECT. I'm going to talk about why happiness. It's one of my talks on my website. I'm going to talk about who's a candidate for TMS. I'm going to talk about another topic called Hope is Everything. Another topic is I'm Stuck in My Own Hell. It talks about depression and what it means. I'm going to talk about why brains weigh deep TMS. I'm also going to talk about why I'm so excited about this field and why I'm here. And then also I'm going to talk about Not Second Class, which talks about people with mental illness being treated as second class, but that's really not the case. The brain, as we know, is the most important organ in the body. It should be treated as such. People can't help it if their brain suffers from these illnesses. They're very biological in nature, just like your kidney or your heart or any other organ in your body. So I'm trying to be real factual about that and kind of how I feel and how we should treat people. I always treat people as equals as much as possible in my own life. I'm going to bring on testimonials and guest appearances from various patients. I'm going to talk a lot about my self-assessment on my website. That's where you can take a self-assessment to see if you're a candidate for deep TMS. I'm going to talk about other topics in the future related to about mental illness, about bipolar disorder, a little bit about schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive disorder, and other disorders. So it won't all be about depression. Like I said, I'm going to bring on other experts in the field. I'm going to talk about governmental issues and legislative issues related to mental illness and those sort of things. I want to acknowledge Town Square Media and KIDO Talk Radio and for Darla for making this possible. I'm really appreciative for this. My show will air every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. on Sundays, so tune in to AM 580 and FM 107.5. Thank you for listening. This is my show. I'll catch you next week. Thank you.